During World War II, as that great and tragic war raged throughout the whole world, one day, from an aircraft carrier on the great ocean, six Navy pilots took off on a mission. Their mission was to find German U-boats and submarines and to destroy them. They took off a little later than they expected, and the mission took longer than anticipated, so that they began returning toward the ship as dusk settled in. As they then flew in the dark, they radioed to the commander of the ship to turn on the landing lights that they might land on the aircraft carrier. But to their shock, word came back from the commander over the radio that they could not turn on the lights, that there had been a blackout because many U-boats and submarines were around. If they turned on even one light, it could be seen and the whole ship could be destroyed and the crew lost. The commander of the squadron radioed again, "Please turn on just one light so we can find you and land." Again, the answer was no. A second, third time, the request made, the request denied. Finally, in great heartache, the ship's commander cut off radio communication, and the pilots were forced to ditch in the ocean. They had been abandoned. Do you know anything of what it feels like to be abandoned? We think about that today in light of our Lenten series on the final words that Jesus spoke from the cross. For several weeks, over 200 of you are reading the book by Adam Hamilton of the same title. We have 24 small groups studying each week these words, and in our worship services and sermons, we're considering these words. We began a while back looking at the words of Jesus, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Then the words he said to the one thief, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." Last week we considered his words, "Behold your son, behold your mother." And today, some would suggest that the words we explore are the hardest ones to comprehend, as Jesus said on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The word forsaken means abandoned. Last Tuesday, as our pilgrimage team completed its 8-day journey in Jerusalem, we visited both of the traditional sites, yes, there are two, of the crucifixion. The one, a great rock within the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, and the second, a hill, referred to in the Bible as Golgotha, or the place of the skull, because it looks something like a skull, as you can see in the image before you. And as I stood there, I tried to imagine Jesus on a cross, nails through his wrists, nails through his feet, bearing the pain and the agony of having been flogged for perhaps an hour before with painful stones and bones in a whip, with blood pouring from his life, with exhaustion and complete devastation of body at hand, now on the cross, speaking. Speaking from the cross was almost unheard of because such victims of crucifixion were weighed down. Their whole bodies were hanging from the nails in their wrists. To speak, you need air in your lungs. To get air in your lungs, such a victim would have to push themselves up, pushing against the very nails through the feet. Agony beyond our possible comprehension. And yet, multiple times, Jesus pushes and speaks. I tried to imagine what that was like. Hollywood has given us some images. Perhaps it was like this. And so with that image in our mind and our knowledge of the fact that Jesus repeatedly spoke, these words stand out among all the other words he speaks from the cross in his dying hours as the hardest to comprehend. But we look at them today because they have great power and meaning. First, let us remember that as Jesus hung there, in the previous 24 hours, Jesus had been ultimately and completely rejected. His dear friends, the disciples, had run away in fear. Those with whom he had been for 3 years, his next of kin almost, and they ran away. One of them, Peter, the night before, thinking he too would get executed, denied even knowing Jesus, rejected even knowing who he was when asked by a passerby. That rejection continues as the Jews, the religious people, you get that? The religious people conspire with the Romans who just want a troublemaker dead, rejecting him altogether as nothing worse, more than garbage. Be rid of him. Then as he's on the cross, the Bible says, passersby taunt him. People make fun of him. Come on, you're a god. Can't you get off of there? They're laughing at him. They're making fun of him. And perhaps even worse than that, the dozens and dozens and dozens of people who walk back and forth, going to get their meals, going to do their day's work, ignoring him, not even caring that the Son of God is dying there. Rejected. Ultimately, completely rejected. Who? This man who had for 3 years done nothing more than be the most loving, compassionate person who's ever walked the earth, living a perfect sinless life, doing nothing but forgiving, teaching, caring, concerned about all, showing the way, the perfect God-man. This is who they rejected. And we need to think about the fact that today we do the same type of rejecting in our own apathy, our own indifference, our own ways of life and our priorities. But back then, thoroughly and completely, Jesus was rejected. This good man whom the hymn says was all compassion, was pure, unbounded love. That's who they rejected that day. Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever been abandoned? Have you ever been left out, left behind? Have you ever been treated as if you don't matter? Have you ever been forgotten? Sure you have. We all have. I have. It hurts. And Jesus hurt, not just of body, but of soul, in this painful, painful rejection. And in the midst of it, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? I know a woman, middle-aged, who bears the deep scars of being rejected in her teenage years by her father. This woman, as a teenager, did nothing wrong. With a mother in a mental institution and a father who simply chose another family over his own children, this woman was ultimately rejected by the one person on earth she wanted to love her. And she was cast aside. And I've watched as that rejection has destroyed her life, as she struggles almost daily to hang on and to hold on. Do you know what it feels like to be rejected? To be abandoned, to be forsaken, to be left out, left behind, to be overlooked, to be disregarded? I'm sure you do. Oh, not in the big ways, perhaps, that I've spoken of, but we all have. For this is a universal experience, and Jesus had it. Jesus had it. Some have wondered, how could he cry out this way? Somehow it seems inappropriate, inconsistent with the Son of God. But maybe we take counsel from the fact that these words, my God, why have you forsaken me, are the first words of the 22nd Psalm in the Old Testament. Ah. So whereas he begins with these words, perhaps we need to remember that the rest of that psalm has words of faith and hope. For that psalm, as it concludes, says, I will declare your name, God, to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. So at the beginning of that psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? But near the end, I will praise you. Perhaps Jesus was trying to get to that full affirmation. He knew the psalm. He knew it well. Or perhaps it's just like you and me, that in one moment we're doubting God, we're questioning God, we're wondering where God is, and 2 minutes later we're saying, thank you, God, thank you. It's what I call the civil war of the soul. We all know it. We've all been there. We'll all be there again. But Jesus knew rejection. And that leads us to the most important thing you can remember about these words and why he may have said them. And that's because Jesus knew that your experience and mine and the entire world's human experience will always include moments of rejection. That you and I go through the same thing that Jesus went through, however less severe it might be. Remember, the night before he died, another moment of questioning, of human doubt and questioning. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, we were there last week, Jesus on his knees says, Father, let this cup pass from me. He doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to suffer. That's the human part. But he then prays in obedience to his heavenly Father. But nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. Back and forth in the same breath, let it pass, but your will be done. That's where we are. That's how we know this experience is so authentic. Because this perfect God-man, in all of his humanness on the cross, Jesus said, where are you, God? Why are you abandoning me? Why are you forsaking me? And yet then he also affirms, into your hands I commend my spirit. The power of the meaning of these words is that Jesus knows what you go through. Jesus understands when you are rejected. Jesus understands when you are forsaken. Jesus understands when you are forgotten, taken for granted, overlooked, or left behind. When I walked last week in the land of Jesus, our itinerary took us, obviously, to many of the high points. So we were in Bethlehem, placing our hand on the ground, the very spot where Jesus was born. We were in Nazareth, where he grew up, and we were in the synagogue area where he went to worship. We were in Capernaum on the top of the Sea of Galilee, where he adopted his hometown and spent time with his disciples, where he recruited Peter, Andrew, James, and John at the lake, these fishermen who joined him. We were there. We were in Cana, where he performed his first miracle, turning water into wine. And we were in Jerusalem at these places and a few others. And throughout those journeys, I kept hearing this song in my mind. I walked today where Jesus walked and felt his presence there. That great old hymn, some of you may never have heard of it, but it has said so much to me for so long. And last week I got to sing it in that place. I walked today where Jesus walked. And the power of the words that Jesus spoke on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Is that the reverse of that song is absolute truth. That where we walk now, Jesus has walked. Do you see that? Where we walk in our moments of rejection, Jesus has walked. Where we walk in our moments of being forsaken, Jesus has walked. Where we walk in our moments of being overlooked, forgotten, and left behind, Jesus has walked and understands. Do you see it? So know the truth. That when you feel these ways, and you will, when life beats you up and pushes you down, remember Jesus has walked where you are walking, that Jesus understands. Will you pray with me? We can only say thank you, Lord God, for what you have done. For your sacrifice on the cross speaks so well, so powerfully to us. Help us, Lord, to remember it, that you understand whatever it is that we go through. Amen.